Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is your best opportunity. If you have a Bible question, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Same number, U.S. Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to talk a little bit today about the nature and makeup of the church as it relates to this truth of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. Well, how does that look in the body of Christ? Well, Paul talks about that in his letter to the Ephesians. This is a marvelous letter, and it shows the very heart of God to include both Jew and Gentile in this new entity called the church. And so in chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes this, "For he himself is our peace, Jesus Christ, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." We like to erect regulations and commandments, and those things become a dividing wall. You know, we have distinctives with every single denomination. You know, we baptize by immersion, and somebody else says, well, we just baptize by sprinkling because it doesn't really matter the amount of water. And somebody else says, well, we don't think you have to be baptized at all. And so we have all of these various ideas, and those become dividing walls, walls of hostility. And so if you're a sprinkler, you don't get along with a dunker, and a dunker doesn't get along with a sprinkler. And we just have all of these dividing walls of hostility. And that's what the law was, the Mosaic covenant between Jew and Gentile. Yes. The Jew hid behind that and said, no, you can't crawl over and become a part of us. You're on the outside. We're the chosen people. You're on the outside. And Jesus came along and just knocked the wall down and said, I'm going to make the two of you one. And this is how he did it. He abolished in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Yeah. So God always had in mind this entity called the church. And that church, this body of Christ, is to be made up, or was to be made up, of both Jew and Gentile. And the way to accomplish that was abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. He put aside that dividing wall of hostility so that we could have peace one with another, so that we could recognize that both parties have been reconciled through the shed blood of Christ to God the Father, and that as a result of that, we can be one in this body of Christ. And I think all of this gives new meaning to Jesus' statement in his ministry that we're to love our enemies. Well, why? Because eventually, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, an enemy can become a brother in the Lord. Right. And so in this body, we have all sorts of people that make up this body. We all got into the body in exactly the same way, by grace, through faith in Jesus. That's how we enter the body. And once we're there, we all have the same status, child of God. Nothing is different between us. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. We're all just one in Christ. And what is the thing that binds us together? The reconciling work of Jesus Christ. And once we recognize that, we can see unity within the body.
Absolutely. Well, we have calls coming in already, but still plenty of open lines at Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. Want to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Carmichael, California, and talk with Denise, listening to us on KFIA. Hi, Denise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've listened to your program a number of times, and I'm just at a point. I've had several things happen to me, but I just feel like I'm not sure of my salvation. I keep getting attacked with, things like, if I say, oh, I'm going to go pray for somebody, and then I'll say, well, you can't do that. You don't even believe you're saved or whatever. And I'm like, I'm starting to get confused, and I know confusion is not from the Lord.
Who is saying that to you, Denise?
Well, say that again?
Who is saying it to you that you don't even know that you're saved? Who is saying that to you?
No, it's a voice I hear in my head.
Okay.
Not another person.
I understand that voice.
So now,
go ahead with your experience, though. Let us hear the rest of your story.
So I'm getting to the point that I just feel like I'm being led astray or out, or that I've just never, I've never believed in. But honestly, I can sit there and tell you, and it's like I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I know that, but I keep hearing that knowing's not enough, have I not this, have I not that, so I'm very confused and conflicted right now.
Well, Denise, let's go to the Word of God together, Denise, and see what the Word of God has to say. And I think when we look at the truth of the gospel, it can cut through that confusion and really anchor you to a solid foundation in Christ Jesus. And that's our desire for you, Denise. And I hope our listeners are joining in as you're expressing your heart and those doubts, and that our listeners are praying for you right now. But here's what the Word of God says. Our problem, Denise, before coming to know Christ, is that we were dead spiritually. There was this sense that something was wrong with us. Many people describe that as a sense of emptiness inside, like there's just this big old huge hole in your heart, and everything you try just, it goes in the top and then just flows out the bottom. Nothing sticks. And that's the symptom of being dead spiritually. We're not connected to the life of God. So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Denise, when they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died that day. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And they passed on that spiritual condition to all people. So we come into this world dead spiritually. And that's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But then Paul says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that we have been saved. So what is salvation? Salvation is being made alive together with Christ. So it's not just adhering to some doctrinal statements and saying, I believe this. It's actually God's work in Christ to take you from your condition of spiritual death to new life in Him. So Jesus described that as being born again. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. So I guess my question is, it seems like, so I guess I'm questioning, where really is my position in Christ? I mean, I served in years before, and I felt like I was whatever, and then I got off into, false teaching, probably, Seventh-day Adventist or whatever, put back under the law. So now what do you do?
Well, Denise, I think we have to just get back to truth, and truth is what's going to set you free. Truth is what's going to cut through that confusion and bring you to that moment of clarity where you can really see that Christ has done something on your behalf. So there was a point in time, did you say 7 years ago, when you trusted Christ? Is that right?
Well, no, I did like when I was 30. I'm like 61.
Okay.
But then I've had things happen. I did, like I said, false teaching. I think I fell into pride and looking into whatever and getting more into that law thing. And even though he's brought that to my room and reminded me, I don't know if I'm just, I feel like I'm in this spiral that I cannot get out of.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like time to dry the stake.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I would encourage you to do. In my life, Denise, I received Christ when I was 12 years old. I really struggled for so long with my assurance of salvation. Every time I sinned, I thought I had lost my salvation. So I probably prayed to receive Christ over 500 times. And it just never felt like it stuck. And finally,
right,
I heard what I just shared with you, that salvation was being made alive together with Christ. And I said, Lord, that's what I want more than anything. And I prayed one last time, Lord, I want you to make me alive. And at that moment, I knew that I knew that I knew, and never doubted my salvation again. It was just that moment of clarity when I really saw that salvation was more than forgiveness of sin. Salvation was being made alive together with Christ. And so my encouragement to you today, Denise, is to drive the stake, is to say today is going to be the day that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ has come to live inside of me, that Christ has made me fully alive in him. And we'd love to help you drive that stake if that's something that you want to do.
I do. I want to do that. I just don't know how, and I didn't know who to talk to, and I just didn't even know how to explain it. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And what we're going to do, Denise, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You know, prayer is just an expression of faith. It's not what saves us. Christ is the one who saves us. He's the one that died to take away our sins. So Jesus took away every one of your sins, Denise, and he's not counting those sins against you. He was buried to put an end to that old way of life, and then he was raised from the dead so that you and I could be raised to walk in the newness of life, so that we could be born again and experience his life here and now. That's the good news. And so when our hearts believe that, when our mouths confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and when our hearts fully believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that's when salvation occurs. That's when new birth happens. That's when you are made a new creature in Christ. And prayer just is simply an expression of that. So let me ask you, Denise, can you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord?
I do. I do. I believe he's the way, the truth, and the life.
Do you believe in the depths of your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray, and then you just pray after me, okay? You just repeat after me. Is that okay? Okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I need you.
Dear Jesus, I need you.
Thank you for dying to take away my sins.
Thank you for dying to take away my sins.
And being raised back to life so that I could be saved.
To be raised back to life so I could be saved.
I now ask you to come into my heart.
And now I ask you to come into my heart.
To be my Lord.
To be my Lord.
To be my God.
Be my God.
And to be my Savior.
And to be my Savior.
And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Denise, Denise, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and get your Bible, and I want you to open up the inside cover of your Bible, and I want you to write today's date right there. And then underneath it, just write, today is the day that I knew. Okay? And when you have doubts in the future, I want you to go get that Bible, and I want you to look at today's date, okay?
All right.
All right. Now, here's what we're going to do, Denise. I have a CD called Drive the Stake. I tell a little bit of my story, really go in depth as to what the gospel is. I want to send that to you, and I also want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I want you to listen. I want you to read through those. And then we want to walk with you in this journey, okay?
All right.
All right. You hang on, Denise. And I am so glad you called, yes, because indeed. I guarantee you there are a bunch of people listening today that are in exactly the same position that you were in, struggling with your assurance of salvation. And I hope your call has been a catalyst for them to drive the stake as well. So,
and I can guarantee you that that voice that Denise was hearing in her head is as real as rain, because I've heard it myself. I used to hear it myself until I drove the stake.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, I just can't thank you for being there and taking my call. Thank you so much that I had someone to go to that could help me.
Well, Denise, we're glad you picked up that phone and had the courage to call and to share your heart on national radio. Let me put you on hold. Michelle is going to pick up with you and get your information, and we're going to give you some resources that I think can really help extend this conversation and really let your roots grow deep into Christ. So you hang on, Denise, and we'll look forward to what the Lord is going to continue to do in your life. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang on.
That is the importance of Basic Gospel, being on the air live, so that we can be here in a person's time of need, just like with Denise. And, you know, that's the importance of supporting this broadcast. I'm not going to do a long fundraising appeal right now. We have calls on the line. We want to get to you as well. But, again, don't forget, we are listener-supported, and we need to be on the air every day.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Doreen listening to us in Surrey, British Columbia. Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Bob. I just want to read some things Paul said, the apostle, and then ask you the question at the end. He said, I buffet my body and bring it into servitude, lest by any means, when after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. And then in Philippians, he says, oh, that I may know him and the fellowship of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though had I already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that which I've been apprehended for, that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. So could you tell me if the Apostle Paul went through all that, and he was a great man of God, how much more should we be subjecting ourselves to obey God so that we can be able to attain the resurrection?
Well, Doreen, I think in salvation, you know, God sends his spirit to take up residence inside of us. That's the deposit guaranteeing our future. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1. So we've been marked out by God through new birth, through the giving of the Holy Spirit, as people who belong to God. We're His children. We've been given a new name. We have we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and a part of this new birth. And the giving of the Holy Spirit makes us people who are eager to trust the Lord in all situations, makes us people who are eager to do good, which Paul talks about in the book of Titus. That's all a natural outworking of the Spirit who lives inside of us. So Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15 says, you know, I work harder than all the others. But wait a minute, it's not me, it's the power of God working in me. We see in Philippians that he talks about the fact that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And then he couples that with this statement. He says that it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we have the Holy Spirit that is moving us to these attitudes that you've read about in 1 Corinthians 9 and then in Philippians chapter 3. Those attitudes that we see in Paul are the direct fruit of God's Spirit working in him. When he said, for example, in Philippians 1, that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, that wasn't something that he came up with on his own. That was the result of the work of God's Spirit in him. When he said, I want to press on to the high calling, that was God's Spirit compelling him down that pathway. And here's the good news, Doreen. You have the Spirit of God living in you. If you're a believer, I have the Spirit of God living in me. And the Spirit of God is going to compel us down that same pathway as well. We can count on that. We can trust in that. That's part of the renewing of the mind. And so we have these attitudes that we start to see and identify and experience as believers as a result of God's work in us. It's good news, isn't it?
Yes, and I like the idea that God is working by His Spirit in us, but at the same time, Paul still had to say no to his flesh and say yes to the Spirit to be able to walk in the Spirit, right?
Well, again, he says if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the saying no to sin is a result of God's work in us. So if we will just continue to focus on living by the Spirit, we're going to see ourselves saying no to sin and yes to the Lord. We're going to see righteous behavior and attitudes and all of those sort of things start flowing out of us. So if we will concentrate on walking by faith, living by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, those things that you talked about, Doreen, you will start experiencing those, that desire to press on to the high calling, that desire to make sure that you're communicating the gospel in such a way that people get it. So those are the things that are there as a result of God's Spirit working in us. So we appreciate your call today, Doreen. Thank you.
Yeah, great to hear from you, Doreen.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we're just about at the end of this one, friends. And again, I will reiterate the importance of Basic Gospel being on the air live, because if there is some particular issue that is troubling in your heart and your life and your family at work or wherever the situation might be, you're probably going to need to talk about it at some point. Or if you're struggling the same way that Denise was with hearing that voice that is accusing you of not being saved or whatever that situation might be, you know, we're here. That's the reason we're on the air live. We want to discuss those things with you and point you to truth and the Word of God. We want you to hear, believe, and live in the abundance of His life. We would appreciate so much a donation to help us keep the good news coming. So you can click donate at any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-412-2742. Well, we're out of time for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team at Basic Gospel, God bless you. We'll be here for that teaching edition. The New Covenant Journey continues tomorrow. Bye-bye.